I paint your face with my blood.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to, episode 358. My name is Scott Johnson. That is our new theme, and all hail Matthew Oxley, the Lord of Awesome Themes. Listen to this thing. Hang on. I'm going to turn back up. Listen to this. Oh.
It's incredible.
I'm just going to let it finish. Here we go. Oh, you guys.
I'm imagining like a Star Wars horn. Like, come just burr, 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 like some point and then, oh my God. And just I want to wield a battle axe after listening to that.
A group of angry ancient horde leaders coming over the hill and just ripping your garrison to shreds and peeing all over your level 90 boosted
right in the
character.
Garrison.
Right. Square in the garrison. Speaking of getting hit square in the garrison, it's Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, Scott.
Good Johnson. To have you back. How are you?
It's good to be back. It's always good to be back. Mm. I'm fantastic. I like that intro.
Yeah, it's okay. Good, right?
I don't like it. I love it.
Oh, you it's love really it. You like it enough that you love it. All right. I do too.
I'm very generous with my affection. no, I think that's really cool. I think it's who does the scary voice at the beginning?
So the voice is, it's been a little bit tweaked, but it was.
You're talking about the paint my face with your blood voice.
No,
right?
Yeah, that one. Oh. I don't know.
Who
that.
That
one
as well. Paint your face with my blood.
That's some little kid. But this one is.
Is this, don't tell me this is Nick. Is this what the town crier sounds like now? Is this why we don't have a new one?
No, it is not him. It's Scott Fletcher.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Scott Fletcher. Now the voice has been tweaked a little bit just to, you know.
Very, very well done.
Yeah, I agree. So here's the one I think it's based on. Let me find it real quick.
You're listening.
No, that's not it.
No, that's
you
it.
Are listening to.
No.
You're listening to.
I think that's the one.
The Instance.
So that's the one. And then he took it and just went a little nuts with it. And created the new theme, which is pretty
rad. It's amazing what they can do nowadays with technologies.
I know, right? It's mind-blowing. Also mind-blowing is Dills. Dills, hi.
Hello.
You're mind-blowing.
I was going to say it was mind-bottling, but I guess mind-blowing makes more sense.
Mind-blowing or mind-bottling? Yeah. Oh, you mean boggling is what you mean.
No, bottling.
No, bottling. Like when my mind is in a bottle. Yeah.
Okay.
Like someone opened the lid on this strange lidded bottle.
Mine is stuck in a bottle. Somebody help me out.
Brilliant. We're back. It's time for a show. It's we continue the winter months of slow WoW news, but there's still stuff to talk about, things to get into. And unfortunately, Dungeon Lot 2 came out for the iPad, and I've been playing that. I got a complaint to make real quick about the free-to-playization of mobile gaming. And it's slowly leaking into straight up, you know, regular gaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dungeon Lot was a game that was $1.99, I want to say, and is still that way, the original game. And it's this great little sort of roguelike dungeon thing that is just perfect for mobile screens. You pick it up, you play it, you put it down, and it's got all the hooks of loot finding and character leveling and unlocking new classes and all the stuff we love. And that extends out to things like WoW and Diablo and everything else. And I love that kind of stuff. So it's just all you have to say to me. You could even just put the term roguelike in any of your game descriptions. There's a very good chance I'll download it and play it regardless of the cost, because I'm completely in love with that genre and love all those different kind of takes on it. Dungeon Lot was a really, really cool kind of initial stab at doing their own take on it. And a bunch of people at Blizzard are huge fans of that game. Corey Stockton, for example, just loved that game and wouldn't stop talking about it. And every time I'd bring it up, he'd reply, and it got me hungry. And I found out, ooh, they're making a sequel. Sweet, that sequel should be out soon. It came out, and they went free to play. Now, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's just straight up, you know, cosmetic stuff or free boost to 90 or whatever it is WoW's going to do. I guess there won't be free, but paid boost to 90, things like that. Sometimes that stuff makes sense to me. And I think, you know, the way Guild Wars 2 and others do it, Path of Exile is really good at this.
Yeah.
It's mostly cosmetics, and that's cool because I feel like if I want to, you know, it's one thing to buy a car. It's another thing to pay extra money to put stripes on it and flames and stuff. And if you're into that, well, then they give you a path to do that. But I can still play. I can still drive my car if I decide not to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, they don't tell you like you have to pay extra if you want to take it home now or right. whatever.
It's still a wild, wild west when it comes to you need the extra wild, Wiki Wild, when it comes to freemium games, because no one's, well, I say no one, but they're still trying to find where the boundary is. Yeah. Where is it that you've gone too far?
Yeah.
And I say that the recent examples from EA's mobile division, I think, illustrate too far to me extremely well.
Yeah.
When you look at, they redid Dungeon Keeper, and
I hate it. It's so much.
Like everything takes so long that you cannot really play the game unless you spend money on it.
Yeah.
They even now with Plants vs. Zombies 2 have removed lawnmowers. And if you want a lawnmower at the beginning of your lane as a defense, you have to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use in-game currency, but it's priced again to the point where it's designed for you to spend money.
Right. Because the grind is so much greater than the value of the cash they want you to spend. Because to grind for those takes way, way longer than just to pay 99 cents and get
for, exactly. Yeah. For the proportionate value mm-hmm. you feel for them, it right. doesn't ever seem to equal out. I mean, even on the Android platform on Dungeon Keeper, you can either click a button to rate it 5 stars or not.
Yeah.
You can't.
1 to 4 or 5. Those are your options. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's just like if you want to rate it 1 to 4, it says, well, before you do that, how about, you know, what would you like to see changed or anything like that?
Yeah. And it literally is one. I'm not saying you get a 1, 2, 3, and 4 to choose. I'm saying there are 2 buttons. One of them says rate it 1 to 4 stars, and the other one says rate it 5 stars. So if you click 1 to 4 stars, you just said somewhere between 1 and 4 is what you've said. And that's ridiculous.
And
ridiculous.
And it's a worrying trend in gaming. But I mean, certainly I think the freemium games is something that have now eked into our subscription games, as we've seen with WoW and all the stuff around it, where, you know, you're now looking to be able to, you know, buy certain boosts in terms of, you know, level 90s.
Sure.
And, you know, as people know, I'm a big fan of that. I actually think it's going to be really good and healthy for the game. But it's always worrying when you see how far some people take it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Blizzard's worked very hard to earn our trust over the years with a subscription game. And trusting them that we give them money each month and they reinvest that and return it in the form of quality and content.
Yeah.
That I hope that they'd never risk it for a cheap win. But, you know,
doesn't seem like
scary,
they would. They never really risk these things.
I don't think
that
they would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what happens though with the iOS stuff is that they're trying to appeal to a non-gaming audience, and the only real way to do that is to allow them to just try it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If, like, you know, for me personally, I would much prefer to buy a game and then just have the game.
Right.
But I'm a gamer,
right.
You know? And when you're trying to sell something that people don't actually do yet to people, you know, you can't say, well, yeah, it's $5. Here, get this thing. And on iOS, yeah, people don't want to spend 99 cents, let alone $5 for a game that could be totally worth that.
Yeah.
So it's easier to get them in for free and then nickel and dime them from there.
Well, and that's money. And that therein lies my big problem. It isn't so much that it's free to play and there are microtransactions. It's that there is no finish line for what to spend and how long you'll do it. In other words, mm-hmm. if I knew I could go into a game and say, oh, I can buy out all the special features for just $5 and I'm done, great. That I'm into. Like, if you want to nickel and dime other people and that's how they'd prefer to play it, do that. Mm-hmm. But if I can go in and you say one option is get it all for $10 or whatever, I would rather do that then never know when this is going to end. And
sure.
That's number one. Number two, the mechanic of making you wait for something as a incentive to spend money.
Yeah.
Is
I hate that.
The devil's penis.
Yeah. I
hate it so bad.
I completely just took Candy Crush off of like my thing when I got to the end of like a chapter and it was like, ask your friends to go to the next chapter. And I was like, nope.
Yeah, can't do that.
I'm not going to ask them for crap.
That
I'm
one
not
sucks
doing
too.
That.
That one sucks.
Sorry.
Too.
Yeah. Also, I heard that it's a terrible company. So,
well, they've got their issues for
things
sure.
Coming out. Yeah. But I mean, that type of stuff is just no. It's just please take all of that thinking out.
Yeah.
There's plenty of ways to do this right. I think Hearthstone's model is going to be pretty damn good.
I agree.
Hearthstone is going to destroy iOS. Oh my God.
It will, but this is a good point. You bring up a really good point, and that is here's Blizzard's chance to actually show us what they're willing to do in a free-to-play market, and they're doing it with Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. They'll do it with WoW, and they'll do it in other ways with other things, but this is their first big, absolutely get this thing, download it for free, and play it. Their model works for me.
Would you guys pay for a pet battle app?
Yes, I would.
No. I mean, I don't do pet battles. I don't know.
If you had an app, would you?
But if you liked it, would you?
Well,
I would with
maybe
an app,
on an app.
Sure.
Exactly, maybe on an app. And then equally, though, what I'd prefer is that the MMO market was a bit healthier. There was more competition, and I didn't have to pay for it. It was just part of my subscription.
That
I would prefer to at least feel like I'm getting more value for my money.
Well, obviously, I would like it for free, but I mean, I'm just like when I think about it from a business standpoint, is that something that would be valuable enough to people?
If Blizzard came out tomorrow and said, "Listen, Pet Battle app, $10, Android and iOS." Here you go. I'm throwing $10 at that immediately.
I probably am too. It's sad to think of it that way, but that's just.
I'm cool with that because again, I see enough value in me doing that portably, and hopefully, if it ties into the actual game proper, then even all the better. But even if it didn't, if it was just a side game where I'm leveling all the pets in WoW and they were updated along with the game, I can't see them doing that. But if they did it even separately like that, that's totally worth $10 for me on a mobile platform.
There would be a bunch of blowback from that. Like, I'm sure they would get a lot of people complaining if it happened that way. But I do think that while people complained, they would drop their $10. They'd be like, all right, cool, whatever.
But even then, in terms of like the app, if it was linked into, if I could level my pets, that'd be great. If it was like something I can do while sat around doing nothing and I'm not near a computer.
Yeah.
Equally though, if I could just, you know, do it and unlock additional stuff. I mean, Rift used to do an app, they probably still do, where you, it's basically like a scratch card. And every day you could go on and you just interact with the mobile game and it would unlock stuff in the
If it has a tie into the actual game. Every time I go to Timeless Isle, I see that quest to do the pet battle tournament. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that, but I'm not going to sit here and grind up a bunch of pets to 25.
For me,
the limited amount of time I'm playing, I can't spend just on pet battles. And I did that
a bit more with the chamois. The chamois leveling, that worked pretty well because I was there, you know?
Yeah.
But even
that's the thing, though. You have to go back and find all the low-level pets.
Yeah.
And I'm just in Pandaria all the time. So.
Right. And even then, I mostly have been doing dungeons with him now. Because you get to a certain point, you're just like, well, I outquested that zone. What the hell do I go now? I know where I go. Into the dungeons. Let's go, everybody, and let's level and get better gear. So that's kind of the road I'm on now. And I'm not, I don't see pets in there. So when I'm outside of there, great, here's some pets. Oh, I'm in. Okay, I'm in the dungeon. Oh, I leveled twice in there? Well, shit. Now I got to go back to an old level again. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not linear in the same fashion. So
it's a little weird.
But you can still just queue. Queue at any time. But it's a little harder to do that than to just kill.
So Dungelot. Dungelot has this thing, kind of an energy system, similar to that card game we were playing a while back. What was that called? Oh, crap, Dills, you were way into it. We had a little guild thing going on in there. What was it called? Crap.
Oh, Book of Heroes.
Book of Heroes.
Yeah,
where you have so much energy to spend, right? And then once you're out of it, you're out of it. And it makes you wait until that stuff recharges. And I forget what they call it in here, stamina or something, in Dungelot. And it just made me, a little part of me died inside because I absolutely love that first game. And this game so far seems like a really great sequel to that with these caveats. And now I'm just a little bit sad. I found out this morning you can go in and do an in-game purchase and purchase out of it. And it's like $3 and you'll never have to worry about the downtime again. But I don't know. I just, little pieces of my gamer lifestyle getting chipped away by this philosophical problem of free to play and what the nickel and dime process is, and trying to discern what developer is doing a better job at this than another. And, you know, you just put all your hopes in one basket, hoping, well, I hope Blizzard never does this to me. And you think they probably won't, but I don't know. I mean, it's sad as the state may be, EA's biggest moneymaker last year was Tapped Out. Freaking Simpsons Tapped Out.
Oh, my God.
Which is this big, giant nickel and dime fest.
That was mainly me.
Was it you?
Mostly Terpstar's money, yeah. Keeping games.
I've deleted it now.
Is it gone? What?
Like 18 months clean.
Hold on. You've been clean. That game was your nemesis. That was all you did for a while there.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked. I know. And exactly. Like any addict, I had to come to terms with it. And,
you look healthy. You get your skin tones back. You look good. You look great.
Well, it was a
tough
time.
You sound good too, man.
Exactly.
Sound happier,
I mean, you'd be amazed. You know, even digital donuts on that scale do take their toll.
Yeah.
And you know, it was.
You're an inspiration. I'm
Thank
blown
you.
Away.
Yeah, you should probably do.
I'm not. I really am not. I'm not a hero. I'm just a survivor. So.
Yeah.
No offense to any actual addicts out there dealing with problems. We just are having some fun
here. Exactly. This is just Tapped Out. But honestly, very addictive.
Yeah, it was and is and made more money than Madden. So put that in your hat and smoke it, I guess. Also, I started the Legendary Cloak Quest, and we talked about last week why I've just been sitting on my thumbs not doing it, and I finally decided to do it. And what was weird is I found out I had already done most of the prereq stuff that you need to do early. I had no idea.
Raiding and stuff, you're getting stuff done. But
yeah, I didn't even know that. Like the terrorist fight, kill, you know, fear, Shaw of Fear. I'd done that, didn't know it. I mean, sure. I knew it, but I didn't know it was part of the quest line. And so as soon as Goofy Boy gave me the quest, it was bloop. Oh, you've already done it. Well, thanks. Here you go. And off to the next bit. So I'm very quickly getting through the early bits of that. And looks like I'll just
you're going to have a lot of fun grinding rep up, though. And,
that's where I'm at now. So not looking forward to that.
What you got to do is just go to Crassering Wilds or whatever. And the little beach there, there's a little cove.
Yeah.
And you throw down a banner of cooperation, I think it's called. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Hmm. But it's the guild thing you buy that increases your rep by like 10%.
Oh, okay.
And then you just start killing dudes, and you'll grind it up pretty quick.
So you don't have to do you have to grind through daily. You just want to kill dudes.
Yeah, killing dudes is gonna get you that rep really quick. All you get like 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's I think it's like 20, and then 30 for killing like the kind of like boss men guys, but you'll get like 22 and 33. So you know,
so just like real life, killing dudes gets you quite a reputation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they kind of respawn pretty quick too, so you can just you can go there and you can just do it really fast.
So T, you're still in the afterglow of the big wedding.
Can't move.
Any big wild time with you? Are you now squaring off and starting characters together and all that stuff?
No. I'm trying to get a pocket healer really, but she's not really been that available. Mm. But hopefully over the next coming weeks we'll be able to do a little bit of multi boxing. Mm. I'm not going to invite you around.
No.
We're not going to.
You're not going to do a video feature about the multi boxing. That's not going to happen. Okay.
No.
Great.
No. But I think it's definitely on the cards. I think, and I think that long term as well, as I've seen with you, like if we had kids, then I could potentially get at least the start of a scenario team, mm-hmm. and then going on to then do a dungeon team.
Sure.
And if I'm like some of your friends, maybe even a flex raid group.
Yeah.
So we just have to see how it goes.
It'll only take about a decade and a half. You'll be fine.
Well, but I mean, if you said to me a decade and a half ago about WoW lasting as long as it has, uh-huh. I think it could still. I think the old girl's got legs.
She does, doesn't she? She's all right.
Yeah,
she's gonna be. We'll be multi-boxing way into the future, I figure.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you continue to be a stout newlywed.
Your wife is cool with multi-boxing though, Terpster? I mean, you guys got that kind of thing going on?
We haven't discussed it formally, mm-hmm. but the thing is that ultimately. I think so. I think we'll be okay.
All right.
We'll see.
All right.
When you look at it, I'm just playing with myself.
Right. Exactly.
That's how it works.
Just playing with yourself a lot.
To continue with phrases that sound like euphemisms.
This is great. Exactly.
Dills has dusted off the druid.
Half of it. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dusting
off
the druid.
Yeah.
How'd that go for you? What's up with that?
Pulled my kitty out and, just started clawing away.
Wow. See, this is if you're listening in your car with your kids, it's fine. They don't know what we're talking about. It's fine.
No. Yeah.
If they did even have an inkling, they don't know what we're talking about. They
I think heard it's kitty, just, daddy. Someone said true. Kitty. Yeah.
Yeah. I just pop my savage roar and just start swiping.
Wow.
That's a horrible one. Anyway, you really are playing a druid, though.
Yeah.
What's going on with that guy?
Savage Roar is and everything. Yeah. Well, so I got like a bunch of guys up to 85, but
yeah,
it's the thing to 90. I'd only really done the couple of guys, but so I went. I got a hankering to get them all ready for Warlords. So the Druid is actually so much easier than I remember. I remember Feral Druid just being so friggin' complicated, and I think there was the meme of the. Or somebody actually made some crazy flow chart of how to actually do top DPS as a Feral Druid. Mm-hmm. They've made it a lot simpler, but it still feels really difficult to me because I'm also really terrible at just melee. I'm just
not
really
your favorite
bad
thing
at standing
anyway.
In the right spot. Yeah,
yeah.
it's an extra thing I got to think about. Like I'm so used to the hunter where I just stand in the back and, you know, just shoot you in the face. But now I have to like figure out how to get behind things and all that.
Do you not want to look like a big chicken the whole time either? And go.
No, not really. I don't know. That seems complex too. There's like sun and moon and I don't know what the hell's going on. So, yeah. So I'm just going with Feral because actually what I want to do is I want to PvP with this guy.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of stealthing up to people and then popping up and going to town on them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm working on that. I'll probably end up grinding him up with healing as well because it's a, like, druid healers are pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I'm in five man, so nice. I'll do that. But that's mostly what I've been doing. And then I keep forgetting to create my living steel, and I'm like three living steel behind where I am with my power sources. So still like, yeah. I'm like two power sources away and still five living steel away. So
have you made a sky golem yet?
No. I'm the slowest sky golem builder of all time.
Yeah.
Rather than take a month, you've just gone for, was it four, three? I don't know now.
I've only really been trying for like 6 weeks. So it's
okay.
Not,
so you're only 50%.
Supposed to take a month. Schedule. It's taken me, yeah, exactly.
That's not too bad.
Fortunately, yeah, I don't have the strongest worth ethic.
Exactly. It's amazing the discipline it takes.
Yeah. Log in once a day and just do that one action. But
click
I have
a button.
Characters, you know?
It's a lot of work, man. We don't blame you.
Yeah. It worried me. Simon at work, he's made three.
Good.
Wow.
And yeah, exactly. It's just it's nice to know he's working hard, at least in the World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. So
he's back in
selling
it, man.
His
Jeez.
Extra ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he sold them and yeah. I think he
you get like
quite
20,
stupidly,
20
I think he swapped one of them recently for the Lovebird. Obviously with Valentine's event now coming up, I'm thinking the market's gonna be flooded.
That may not have been a good choice.
He might have done a bad trade. Just, and it's weird to think about how real world economics, supply and demand, come into play when you're looking at, you know, if only he'd waited a couple of months or the other way around. I don't know.
Well, here's my question: yeah. Are they what is a golem fetching on the auction house right now?
EU is I think on our server it's about 15k. It's not that much.
That's not
really.
Too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, if you think about how much the mats actually cost.
Yeah.
It's not that much of an uptick, really.
Mm. So when you,
because it's so cool, everyone made one,
yeah.
And everyone's
yeah.
making them. And equally, because of the delay and the time it takes to make them, you know, people made them, and then 30 days later found out, oh, everyone else made them as well. Okay,
yeah.
And so the market got a little bit flooded, but still, you know, sky golems—they're cool.
Yeah, right. They fly and look cool,
you can herb without dismounting.
Yeah. Oh, you can herb without dismounting. That's the name of this episode. Herb without dismounting. Well, excellent. Let's get into what... There's news this week. There's a little. So here's some. Yeah. Right here.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week brought to you by Doghouse Systems. DoghouseSystems.com, where you can get double the memory with the code Henry. H-E-N-R-Y. Henry will get you double the memory. And I love Doghouse Systems to the point of ridiculousness. It sits right here next to me.
Yeah, it's quite
says,
strange.
Won't you come play?
Of Valentine's Day, and you buy your computer a card. Mm-hmm. That's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a graphics card.
Right.
She just looks even more beautiful in
yeah.
it.
I upgraded a sound card because I'm going to be doing some cool stuff with that, and it seemed
really?
Great. It seemed grateful.
Wow, I've never seen the value.
Well, it's got a bunch of digital stuff I want.
So it's just got extra bits you can plug in.
Yeah, bits and bobs.
Back in the day, people used to try and sell sound cards and stuff like that, and now it's just like onboard sound, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Just
depends on the onboard sound. But
yeah, but
yeah,
sometimes
for the most part,
you have bad
fine.
Quality, bad quality connections and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes that can be weird.
Could be.
Sometimes that can be weird, but not at DoghouseSystems.com. You're going to get great connections, and they'll take care of you. Go there, DoghouseSystems.com. All right, Chris Robinson, art director dude man over there on the WoW team.
The intern.
Yes. He did another art craft. He did one previous to this, which dealt with the human, the new human models.
Female.
Human female.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, lady. Hello. No, how's it go? Hello, mama. Hello. No, there's a phrase. Hello.
No,
nurse. Hello, nurse. Yeah. That's
you
it.
You're on your own.
It's Hello Nurse. That's what it is.
Damn it. You figured.
Oh, really?
Yep, it is. The focus this time was on garrisons. He basically was talking about just the art of it, what inspired them, how they went from Warcraft 3 stuff to what they're actually making now, and some of the differences. And they show a bunch of really great differences between version 1, version 2, version 3, the evolution between the various things. So, for example, what a stable might look like at the early levels, the mid levels, and the late levels. It's really, really looking good. But
what
he also
haven't covered, though, Scott, is I'm guessing that, you know, is there going to be a microtransaction where I can speed up the process when it's building? It'd be like, oh, it's going to take me, or you could use 7 Azerothian crystals.
Oh, shit.
That's what it'd be. If it was a mobile game, that's exactly what we'd be looking at here.
Yeah.
So I think, quite fortunately, World of Warcraft's not going to do that, thankfully.
Yeah, no, dude, I
but,
hope
not. Wouldn't it be, that's literally, if this was, you know, another developer, that's honestly what we'd be looking at.
What if
at.
They it's do, crazy. Though? What if they do? What are you going to do if they do? What if they say, look, 100 gold, because maybe it's just gold and now there's a way
but
to buy gold.
If it's gold, it doesn't matter. If, well,
See?
Slippery slopes.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. But what would you
gold.
Say?
If they gold's in game currency, it would have to be another one.
Right. Right. I mean, well, yes,
Blizzard
possibly.
Blizzard have done this historically just without you having to buy it. It's like, you know, you can buy it for gold or you can do it for, you know, valor points or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can play the game one way or you can play the game another way.
Yeah.
And you could argue that playing the game by spending a lot of money is a third way of playing the game.
How angry would you be if they did that, though? If they made you pay to speed it up?
I don't think I would be angry. I'd be disappointed, Scott.
Yeah. I'd be more sad.
Exactly. Mm. I'd say to Blizzard, you were supposed to bring balance to the Force, not destroy it, only with more emotion.
The copyright lawyer would say, you can't talk about Star Wars.
You can't. I'd say, Star what? I've never seen it.
What's this? George Lucas? What? It's an interesting point because this is Clash of Clans kind of.
Well, I mean, quite cleverly, when Blizzard introduced it, they're like, yeah, we used to make this RTS called Warcraft that the game's actually based on. So we're trying to see about introducing further RTS elements back into the game.
Sure.
And I think it'd be cool. Like the sad thing is the way plots work is I don't think we have quite the ability to kind of position stuff exactly how we want, but we have a choice. You know, my garrison might look slightly different from your garrison, and equally the buildings I choose to inhabit my garrison could be vastly different from yours. I hope there'll be some way for me to surround all of my like towers in farms. You know, I hope that I can, you know, bring back some of the old Warcraft tactics, but past that I don't quite know.
Chris kind of let Corey Stockton take the stage a little bit in this article, and he said this, as Chris mentioned, a massive feature with a lot of different moving parts is the garrison feature. One of its biggest is the visuals, and that's where our team comes in, or where our art team comes in, rather. Went on to say a little bit later, a big part of the feature is being able to increase your garrison's power over time. We wanted to make sure you could see that reflected in the art. This means that all the garrison buildings have to have multiple and increasingly epic visual upgrades. And from what they've shown so far, it seems like they're on track to do that. I also was not aware that you could put your buildings in any arrangement you wanted. The way the plots are going to work are going to allow you to just stick them in any configuration
you'd
like.
I think there's going to be like large plots and small plots. So I think certain buildings were only allowed to be in certain places. But I kind of like the idea of, you know, being able to put a mine next to some rocks, and maybe getting a bonus from that or something. I quite like, you know, I don't know if that forces you down a cookie cutter path or not, but I like there feeling some form of RTS skill to it, past just like I've made something look pretty. So that might just be me, but I quite like the idea of that. And they tease at the very bottom the Horde stuff.
Yeah.
So if you click on the link in the description, the show notes, you can see the stables as they might look as a Horde thing.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. I always feel like Horde architecture just doesn't quite have the same sort of, you know, quality regalness that you see with Alliance
stuff.
Well,
that's
stuff.
The
Alliance
point,
is
though.
Just a little more savage, though, yeah.
But I kind of like it to be a little bit, potentially a bit more Iron Horde-y. The version they've shown here seems Stables V3. And I'm guessing it's the biggest stable of the three iterations, not the third design they threw around.
Right.
And I was hoping that towards the end here, we'd see more kind of Iron Horde, kind of big structures that are quite cool looking, very spiky.
Yeah.
You know, if we're on Draenor and there are Iron Horde around, surely there's going to be lots of iron around for us to do stuff with. Maybe we want to differentiate ourselves from them.
Right.
But for me, at least, it just doesn't look as cool. But
yeah, but you know, these are all built by peons, and they just don't.
I guess so, and that'll be fun to see how they.
Yeah, they don't know
how they handle that though as well. In terms of, like, you know, I imagine when you plant a plot down, it will take time to build up. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, growing stuff as the tillers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it'd be quite cool to see, you know, little, you know, mole work. You know, those guys walking around and tapping away. And maybe, like, some of my followers and stuff could be builders, which speed that up.
Sure.
And, you know, rather than have, you know, guys who are kitted out for doing adventuring, I've got guys who are, you know, back at the garrison helping us improve it. And then once I've built it all, I'll fire them all. I'll say, you're no longer useful to me.
Yeah.
Recreating the events of Stormwind and the Defias Brotherhood, the Masons Guild, and doing it all over again. Yeah. It'd be beautiful.
Of course.
I think they need to have it not be the 24-hour time period, too, because I want to be logged in and hear, like, job's done.
Yeah.
Head on over there. And
that would be cool.
The building is done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't know if the server works like that. Do you reckon it could?
I think it could. Why not? I'll think about this.
I guess, like, they could just put a debuff on it.
But there's timers. Yeah, there's already timers in the game. Just make it. It would basically count as some sort of buff timer.
Love that. I love that idea. And they just have a bling at the end and tell you, job's done or something. That'd be great. Yeah. I noticed some of these alliance buildings. See, Torpstar, I think the specific aesthetic you're talking about with that horde building is actually true on the alliance side as well. What they've shown so far is very much, hey, this isn't Stormwind. This isn't brick and mortar. This is out in the wilds, and these are wooden structures created by peons and workers.
I don't know. They seem to end up looking pretty Stormwind. Like, on the lumber mill, they show versions 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And version 1 looks like something out of Redshire. Version 2 looks like, you know, it's a bit nicer, cooler looking. Mm-hmm. And I imagine version 3, I expect it to look like some sort of palace that also chops wood on the side.
Chopping palace. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the mage, they show the mage tower starts off as a tent, then becomes like a little town hall, and then it's like a proper, like,
it's like an actual tower. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really cool looking. And I think that's funky, and I love that.
I feel like a giant idiot. I just noticed something. The lumber mill, they show the old Warcraft 3 one here, mm-hmm. For comparison, and then they show the new one. That Warcraft 3 one is represented and recreated in Arathi Highlands, and I never noticed it before. But that's the building. I didn't know that. It didn't even click with me. I've run past that thing 100 times.
When you do Arathi Basin, it's the
Basin's what I meant. That's what I meant, was Basin. Yeah. Highlands zone basin.
They paid homage.
So you can get a buff in there. It's a good place to hide too, and then you blow people off the cliff.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like a lumber thing to do.
Like,
and
there's some speed. Isn't there around there?
Yeah.
Well, there's one of the three buses in there.
Yeah, right. I haven't been in there in so long. But it's just such a stupid thing to not notice. I feel like an idiot now. But now I notice. And now
all of
good.
These are all over the place.
But
just now they're going to be different versions, and then they're going to be, you know, buildable.
Yeah, and they'll be epic.
They go on in here to kind of show the prop stuff as well. And, I mean, I feel like a bit of a horrid person in saying it, in that, like, if you told me, like, the prop artist's job, I wouldn't have thought, like, it was that kind of satisfying.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, actually, because, you know, I just think, like, oh, what did you do? Well, I made the crystal over there in the corner.
Yeah.
But you actually see these things, and they show you how the props, you know, how they dress them and improve and add all these little bits to it. And it does completely transform the look of these buildings and just add so much to it, that, you know, all these little tiny bits they do just seem to make it really cool.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. So more on that as it comes, and I'm excited that they're working on this. I'm excited Corey's right in the middle of that garrison stuff, and I can't wait to see how that plays out in the game. Scroll of Resurrection has been retired. I wonder what this means. The time has come to bid adieu to the Scroll of Resurrection. This is their words. It served its divine purpose, but like most scrolls, it only has so many charges before it loses its magic and crumbles into the ethereal dust. For those who still like a chance to use the scroll, you have until February 18th before players are no longer able to send invitations.
4 more days.
So here's the question. Crazy. Is this because they're about to introduce free level 90 boosts, which can come with a trial account? That's got to be why. Because there's no more reason.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
You'd hope so.
But are there no other advantages of having a friend recruit feature where you benefit from helping a friend get in? That seems like a weird thing.
I think that even then, how Scroll of Resurrection works, it may be that they just change that. So they get rid of it and then reintroduce, like, you know, maybe the fact is that Once your subscriptions run out, you can still log in, but you can't level past 20, or you can't access an account, you know, character past 20. So it's like a free trial.
Yeah. I think still some sort of there's still some value in that, you know, getting people to come back to the game, you know, having players have some incentive to get people back into the game.
Yeah.
But I think what happened here is the value has to shift to something else, because now this thing it used to offer is already offered in a different way. Yeah. So, and when they say, oh, it served its purpose was, you know, lessening the people who were leaving the game during, you know, kind of a slower period. So, well, now the purpose is different.
As with everything, there are people freaking out who are saying, oh, sure, this is the sign of Blizzard going pay for everything, and they're trying to push their store, and the 90 level thing is what's causing this, and there's a lot of whatever. But, you know, as usual, that's always going to happen. There's always going to be a voice like that. I don't think I buy into that. I think this is just far less important or useful. So why not retire it and come back later with something that makes more sense in the new world with recruiting a friend?
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's definitely other rewards that could happen. I mean, you know, the stuff like the mounts and things like that are still viable. So, you know, they'll figure something else out. I think we'll still see this.
News is floating around. The Battle.net launcher update has happened, and it now supports WOD, which I can't find anywhere. I updated my client, can't find Jack.
Yeah.
Did that get pulled? Does anyone know what happened with that? Because that was, people were talking about it. It was on Twitter. I saw it on MMO Champion. I saw it on WoW Insider. I saw it in a bunch of places.
It just hints towards the fact that we're inching ever closer to some form of beta.
Yeah.
The fact that they're retiring the recruiter friend, Squad of Resurrection on the 18th.
Yeah.
They're, you know, updating the launcher so that the icon exists within it. You know, I just think that we're getting closer and closer towards some form of beta, which makes sense in terms of, if we were to say the beta is going to run for 3-4 months, you know, it puts us in kind of June, July, which would be a lovely time to get the game. I say makes sense. I just happy if that's their timeline.
For release, you mean?
I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, likely knowing Blizzard, we won't get it till Q4 anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really matter. What you have to bear in mind is that the Elder Scrolls and WildStar are both coming out before. And again, to maximize the effectiveness of Warlords of Draenor, they really would be well placed to hit before the first months or couple of months are up on those games. So that before they've had chance to really bolster their offering by adding more content, you know, WoW can come in and just capture the market again. But I don't know whether or not they will. And knowing Blizzard, like as always, it's ready when it's ready. So
yeah,
but live in hope.
They're not going to rush it just for that one reason, but it would be beneficial to Blizzard for sure if they could do that.
Sure. By the way, the word on, just a quick note about WildStar, unfortunately, if you were really looking forward to that game, so far, early word on that limited demo they let people talk about is bad. People are not loving that. They're talking pretty.
I think you'll find that about all of the ones at the moment, to be honest with you.
Mm.
And I don't think, until we actually see it come out and be released and it's an actual finished product and see what the reception is in terms of how many people stick around, MMOs are built on their communities and the people that play them. And I think in betas and stuff like that, they tend to be quite solo experiences. And equally, WildStar, I've played some of it and it nails in a good way. Like, it's really hard. And I think caters for a different market to World of Warcraft, which is quite smart. I think, you know, The Elder Scrolls obviously is going to sell fantastically well because it's called The Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many people that buy that and buy it on console because of Skyrim and Oblivion before it.
Sure.
And I think that what the big question with all of these is, what is the retention? What's the stickiness of it? You know, every MMO that's come before World of Warcraft before, we've seen, you know, 1 million people leave WoW and then 1 million people come back to WoW.
Yeah.
And so it'd be interesting to see what these next ones do. And if Blizzard can follow up by saying then also, oh yeah, come back and you can play this new game, I just think that they're sew it right up again.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm not in the beta for either game.
Yeah.
But the gameplay videos that I've seen don't make me very excited about Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah,
I'm still gonna buy it and play it, but
I feel like I need to too. Just because
I really hope that I'm wrong. because yeah. I would love it to be a great game.
We want, all want that. We want an Elder Scrolls experience that can take it to that level and do something cool with it. But it's
Because obviously Skyrim and Oblivion were just incredibly fun to play.
Yeah,
so.
I just want the MMO market to be more competitive.
Absolutely,
just have to, you know, half their profits and reinvest it in WoW. You know, just for the fear of losing us. The problem is obviously we all love it so much, and they're doing really well that they don't necessarily have to. But if another game comes along that makes Blizzard have to reinvest, I'll be a very happy WoW player.
Yeah, it's good for everybody, really. I mean, yeah, we obviously, you know, have picked our favorite, but it doesn't mean that we don't want everybody else to.
Exactly, you know, and I don't know, you know, we can never know with like Greg moving to Riot, if that was motivated by money or opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, partly I think that Blizzard offer the guy another million. I don't care. Give him all millions and keep the team you have because they're great.
Yeah.
You know, I start wanting to see Blizzard get all the best people in the world working on the best game in the world.
Yeah. Maybe you do that by having others compete well, and it'll be interesting. I mean, at this point, the most important RPG for me in this coming this year is probably going to be South Park Stick of Truth. At this point,
I think it'd be fun. I think Witcher 3, I think it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it looks really good. Yeah,
I'm really excited about that. And it looks like it will make Skyrim look like nothing.
Yeah.
But time will tell.
Potentially,
Stick of Truth is just going to be great. A great distraction.
Do you know what the classes are in that game, dude? Listen, the classes in that game are Warrior, Thief, Wizard, and Jew, which is just the most fantastic. They've got the South Park thing down just fine.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, Matt and Trey are like heavily involved in it.
Yeah.
I think it's just very recently gone gold, and they were trying to hold and hold and hold for as long as they could because they wanted the references in there to be as current as they could be, because that's what South Park's all about. You know, it's kind of made and released in the same week.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I kind of want to see, you know, a Justin Bieber drunk driving joke in there. I want to see, you know, kind of popular culture stuff happening now in there. I saw a hands-off demo of it at Gamescom, and it looks fun. It looks kind of, you know, kind of silly fun. I don't think it's gonna win any Game of the Year awards, but I'm sure as hell gonna get it and laugh whilst playing it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
It's pretty good. Looking forward to it big time. All right, what else here? Oh, PvP. This is just a note if you're really into PvP. PvP Live Armageddon series team signups are closing soon. If you want to be a part of this series, and there's a bunch of info on the World of Warcraft official site that explains what the whole thing's about, but it is fast approaching. You and your team just have one more day. That's February 14th. That's today, actually, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You better be doing it today by noon Eastern, which is right now. You've already missed it. So good luck, everybody, who signed up for the PvP live site.
I'm gonna watch this thing.
Yeah, that's going to be. They're partnering with Twitch. It's on March 15th and Sunday, March 16th.
I really want to see some way in game to watch these things. I really want there to be kind of, you know, bots or, you know, server mirroring that means that I can click on a goblin NPC and then sit in a big arena and watch in the middle characters moving, you know, with the same commands being issued to whatever character is duplicated on my server or however they do it, so that I can engage and be a spectator in an esport in a game.
Right.
I think that'd be amazing. At the moment, obviously, all we can do is watch it on Twitch, which is okay.
It'd be all right.
But I kind of love the idea that we could take esports to that next level and have it be something, you know. I mean, you can get married in World of Warcraft. Why the hell can't we watch someone actually playing World of Warcraft? In World of Warcraft.
Exactly. More importantly, and Dills, you keep talking about it, but when Hearthstone gets its... Here's what I believe Blizzard will do. They're thinking on this whole observer mode thing will be this. They'll make one engine to rule them all, even Hearthstone, even though it's a completely kind of different sort of engine. There's still 3D things happening there. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't sourced from one of the other Blizzard engines anyway, to be honest. They've just fixed the camera and done some other things and optimized it. But all of that being said, I think that they come up with a universal... fits all their game system for that, and you'll start to see observer modes for StarCraft, for Hearthstone, obviously, for Heroes of the Storm, for WoW, and even Diablo at some point if they ever get any kind of multiplayer thing in there. If that's how they do it, I would not be surprised, because they're going to want to try to kill as many birds with that stone as they can.
Yeah, the Angry Chicken Invitational tournament actually aired last week.
Oh yeah, I saw a bunch of it.
It was pretty good. I mean, we had like, I think 700 plus people in the Twitch channel. the VOD's been viewed like 3,000 times or something. So I feel like for the first one, it was fairly successful, but you can tell when you watch it that observer mode is sorely lacking. And that's one of the reasons it took so long to get out. It's one of the reasons that it's a little bit funky because we had to have the players record things. And it's, you know, it's some of the dimensions were wrong, you know, so like it switches.
You got weird aspect ratios. And,
yeah, it was just weird. And just,
if anything, it showed really how hard you guys worked on it. That was chief, as I saw how hard you guys worked on it. And then secondly, it was like an example of why observer mode must come. Like, it's not your fault. You did Herculean things with what you had to work with. Yeah, and that was still not enough, Blizzard. So, gosh dang it.
Yeah. Observer mode. We did the whole thing with a budget of $200, and all of that $200 went to the players for prize pool.
Nice.
We didn't have any other money. Doghouse Systems was the sponsor. So, big thanks to them. But I think it went well. So, yeah.
I mean, that I think that, you know, with Morheim knowing how important esports are and being such a strong fan himself, I'm sure they're devoting a lot of, you know, resources across to it.
They realize
it's the sort of thing that makes games nowadays. You know, you're looking at League of Legends, you're looking at Dota 2. You know, these games are so, so popular because of that competitive nature and because of how popular it is to watch. StarCraft 2 did so well because of its multiplayer, its competitive multiplayer. Yeah. You know, everyone loves the single player. It's beautiful cinematics and would sell, obviously, very well, but is still played today because of its fantastic multiplayer. Yep. So you've got to hope that they're going to put some additional tools in games like Hearthstone. I think with Hearthstone, none of them really knew it's going to be any good until it was out and everyone loved it.
Well, I think they knew it was good, but I don't think they realized that it was going to get latched onto so quickly as a potential esport.
I don't either.
I don't think they thought that it's a growing game.
Yeah, I don't think they thought that it would be like second to League of Legends almost every time I log into Twitch. Like,
yeah, it's just which is crazy. I don't think they had any idea of that. But now they do. I mean, now they know.
Now they do, yeah.
They are fully aware. Oh, a world of tweets.
Wow. Sorry,
swallowing.
It gets better every single week.
It's never.
I don't know how you manage it.
I know, right? I reach one plateau and you think, you can't get much better at that. And then the next week, you're like the
announcer of Blizzard games. Like, you know, it just seems like every time they do one, you think that's the best.
Right.
And then, you know, a week goes by, you do another world of tweets, and it just blows all the previous ones away.
I know. And next week, guys, don't even know what will happen next week. Just be ready.
Who knows? All I know is I'm tuning in. Well, I'm not going to be tuning in.
I got a tweet here to Celestalon. It said, with Reforging gone, will stat weights be balanced a bit more so some gear isn't so terrible for certain specs? The simple three-letter answer with a period at the end from Celestalon was yes. That's good.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you'd hope.
Makes sense.
He's a lot less wordy than Greg, I've noticed. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying it's just different. He keeps things to a minimum. Holinka is also doing a lot of answering. Answered this tweet, which was, can we stop drinking in Arena, please? You can't drink halfway through a raid boss, so you shouldn't be able to drink in Arena. He says drinking in Arena has been around a very long time. Not sure what the reaction would be if we removed it. I'm guessing mixed.
So. You know what? I'll say this, though, about that. I wouldn't mind seeing Arena be much more limited in scope. Like right now, they eliminate certain cooldowns and things like that because they would be overpowered in Arena. But, you know, you can like res someone who's died in Arena. I feel like it really shouldn't work that way. I think like, you know, it's 3-on-3. When someone dies, they're dead. Mm. But if you can get out of combat, then you can res people, you know, you can drink, you can res people, you can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just feels to me like it would be much more consistently competitive if all that stuff was just taken out. And it was just like, okay, it's three people versus three people. They kill each other. Who kills the other ones first?
Yeah.
And there's no like drag the match out forever.
I'm of two minds of these sorts of things. I tend to also look at like pro sports and the use of steroids, for example. And I always think, just eliminate them so they're all on the same playing field. Or give them all steroids so they're on an equal playing field. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, wouldn't
it be? Just a load of roided out guys just
be Blurn's
doing
ball.
Immensely crazy stuff.
Totally. But
well, it'd be enjoyable for us, but it would not be enjoyable for them when their lives completely.
Oh,
fall
yeah,
apart
no, exactly. But
careers.
That's, you know.
Well, forgetting
this is like
that.
Modern day gladiators.
Yeah.
You know,
let's pretend for a minute it doesn't invert
let's
their
go back
penis.
In the day.
Yeah, forget that. Let's just remember. Let's say that they get to a point where those steroids are non-harmful to their bodies, their bones,
sure,
and their
sure.
and their
I'm
penises.
Sure, that could happen one day.
Let's say they get to that point. Then it's just, well, what's the difference? So in this case, with the drinking, being allowed to drink flasks and stuff in the middle of an arena fight, well, if they're all getting to, well, then I'll do it. If they all can't, then they all can't. Like, it's even easier and simpler in a video game. You either make it so it does or doesn't. Nobody's at a disadvantage here is what I'm saying, because they all can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe sure. DPS may have an advantage because it directly tweaks out their numbers. When I say DPS, I mean classes that are maybe perhaps a little awesome right now in arena. So maybe they get an advantage that the other guys wouldn't have with their agility boost.
I thought it was about drinking mana regen
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought like it was. I thought they were talking water. About
no, you can,
switching
you can
up
pop a potion, and there's potions, you know, arena potions,
there's
and
special arena
all
potions.
Of that.
Yeah,
but this is about sort of when you go oom.
Oh, good point, because you can do that in the middle of a raid fight too. You're right.
Exactly. You can't get out of combat with a raid boss.
Right.
Yeah.
But
the way
in
the
arena,
game
you can hide behind a pole for a while, and then
and just yeah, and you could just chug a load of stuff. Because, you know, even if they hit you,
no, good point. Good point.
We get a couple of ticks out of it.
Or how about this? How about we can drink those same potions in raids? Let's go the other way. How about in the middle of that fight, I can pop a freaking mana potion? Why not?
Well, you can, but you can't stop and drink water.
Yeah,
you can pop a mana potion, but you can't stop, sit down, and drink some water.
Forget about
I can't say Ragnaros is like, by fire, be purged. I'm like, 2 seconds, Ragnaros.
Yeah, 1 second. I'm out of mana.
But imagine the use we'd suddenly get out of that freaking mage tray for once. Like, mage trays are kind of just like this stupid thing.
The feel of, like, you know, Garrosh is there wailing away on a tank, and I'm at the noodle cart just being like, no, my man, step back. I'm just going to finish this. Oh, they're so good. Udon noodle. And they're good. They hold the flavor better.
Well, you know? So every time there was some sort of a transitional period in a fight, like, there's, you know, maybe a pause for a moment while a cinematic plays, like, all right, everybody stop and drink. Like, I don't know. It's just. Yeah, it's weird to me.
You're right.
You're
I guess
fighting. Let's just fight until the fight's over.
Yeah.
And I think that they could definitely bring this over to arena, because it's weird to me that in arena I could run away if I'm like a druid. If I'm a feral druid, I can run away and hide for a while, and then I'm out of combat, and then I can stealth again. Like, I don't know. That just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you popped out of stealth already, man. No.
I like
I
think I agree with you now. Now that I've got my head straight on potions versus just like a mana, mana or whatever, I get it.
It's just to me, like, the fight has started. You shouldn't be able to do things that are not allowed during a fight.
Yeah,
because the fight is on.
The fight has begun. There's no sitting down and having a meal. Come on, man. Oh.
Yeah.
Celestalon answered the final one. The tweet went like this. Sorry if this is the wrong place to ask, but for WOD, can we archaeologists expect new dig sites on Draenor 2? And the answer was simply yes.
Wow. How is this even news?
It's not. It isn't. It's just so exciting for such a non-exciting profession in the game.
Sorry. I was just wondering, like, are there going to be more levels in... Yes, there are. Oh, that's amazing. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Will there be music in the game when we play it? Yes, there will be.
Are there going to be new quests?
Yes.
Because I'm really concerned about that.
Ask some more hard questions here. Like, will there be gear? Right. Yes.
Yeah. New gear or the same gear?
Okay. New gear.
Got it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Will there be new bandages?
Yes.
I always enjoy there's new cloth, and then I'm thinking, I wonder what I can turn this into. And often I can turn it into bandages. Is that going to be the same?
We went linen, cotton, mage weave. What's going to be next, you guys? Exactly. I'm really excited for this new cloth.
Yeah.
Can we return to rune cloth? I feel like those were the best bandages.
They really were.
You know how he'd answer that? He'd say, no. That's what he'd say.
No.
That's all he would say. All right. There you go.
Yes.
Good times. Keep asking those hard questions, everybody.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
It's the Town Crier, where we talk about your emails and your calls, and you can leave us a phone message at 206-202-3969. It's 206-202-3969. You can also email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Your attachments are welcome. This entire segment brought to you by typefrag.com, the best Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, and Mumble servers you can get on the internet if your guild needs to grow or your little group of dungeon raiders needs to hear each other better, go no further than typefrag.com. All right, let's get to calls. We have one this week from a familiar voice. Check it out.
Hey, guys. This is the Macaulay Culkin guy that you guys keep replaying my little recording on the show every week. Anyway, I just heard some people aren't too happy about my language from that call, and you're not allowed to play the God damn it part. It was a God thing, so I just wanted to give you a new sound bit to use without the language. So stick to the subject, damn it.
All right, so he kept the damn it.
Okay.
That's great.
I really appreciate the work he's putting into this.
And, really? You know, yeah.
He's really kind of, he's like the That's fourth good. Instance host.
He's like an ambassador for calling
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I don't know if I should call in. I don't think I have anything constructive to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop everyone, guys. Yeah. So, you know, by the way,
Macaulay Culkin is pegged to star in a new Aladdin movie.
Oh, you guys, gosh.
So.
What?
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, animated or. Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. I hope they do live action, you know?
Who will he be?
Never had a friend like me.
I think what they really need to do though is keep the priest boner scene in.
It's right. That scene with the wedding on the boat.
Get rid of that.
Wait, that's The Little Mermaid. Wrong movie.
Oh, crap.
That's okay, though.
Yeah.
It's okay. a great reference.
Yeah. Well, then they need to add it into this.
Yeah.
That's
I love those weird Disney hidden things. They're my favorite things in the world. They're really good. All right, here's his old clip and his new clip together. I'm going to play them at the same time. See if you can tell the difference, okay? Oh. So here you go.
Stick to the subject, God damn it.
There you go.
Wow, he's just a constant
That's very good.
Yeah,
very
not bad,
good.
Right?
The timing is
only
exactly
one take. That's yeah. it. It wasn't like he multiple ones in.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
That's all it took. All right, we got an email here that says, hey guys, with the 20-year anniversary of Warcraft upon us, was wondering if you guys had a memory that sticks out more than most when it comes to Warcraft. The most, I think you used most twice there. Either
mostly, he's, I'm listening, but what's
but sort of what
the most
he says either the RTS or WoW or whatever. Thanks, and his name is Genius Penis. Genius Penis is his name. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think for me, there are tons and tons of memories. Lich King down was one of my favorites ever. But I think if I had to really put my finger on it, it was the first time I played Warcraft 2. In the office at a place I was working with a bunch of friends over a bunch of computers that were all land up. And I never had anything quite that fun since in terms of just raw. I mean, maybe my old Quake days in the same office with the same people. But when we played Warcraft for the first time in there, it just was, we knew we were, this was something big and special and unique. And we weren't, none of us were really playing Command and Conquer at the time. Which I know a lot of people would argue is the first or the better RTS or whatever. All I would say
for
to that is,
country.
I would just say, where's Westwood Studios now is what I would say.
Well, they became Ensemble and then I think, and then they
sort
got,
of, they got absorbed and then they died. Yeah. Now they're gone. And they had a really fun MMO out for a while. Do you guys remember the space one they did called, oh crap. This would have been just prior to WoW coming out. Oh shoot. Chat room will know, and it's a minute off with the lag, so they won't hear it yet. But it was some kind of space MMO.
And what am I thinking about? No. Westwood became... What did Westwood become? It wasn't Ensemble.
No, they weren't Ensemble Studios.
They became... Oh, Petroglyph. That was it.
Oh.
And then they... Petroglyph was working on End of Nations with Trion Worlds. But I've never seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Did it ever get released?
I don't think it did.
It was getting released, and then it wasn't released.
Something got weird with that. They were... oh, yeah, Petroglyph. You're right. That's totally them. They've got a lot of weird games. Like, I don't know if you guys ever played Nox. It was kind of their Diablo game. I loved that game.
Nope.
It was weird. You were like a modern day kid who got sucked into this video game fantasy world and you played Diablo style and got loot and all that. And I thought Nox was great. I'm trying to find the other game that they did. Where is their games?
Okay. So you said there was a space one.
Yeah, it was called, here it is, Earth
and
Beyond.
It wasn't like Tybee
and Sun? Earth and Beyond, 2002.
Oh, Earth and Beyond.
I liked it a lot as a fan. But
yeah,
Eve
no,
killed
this.
It.
This was a good game.
Eve murdered it, basically, because Eve came out a little bit after that and it just killed it. But these guys were on the Dune series, of course, Nox. Oh, gosh, the Blade Runner game. I don't know if you remember that. It was really good. Anyway, they had some stuff. They did some things. But
I think you've got to look at it now. I mean, how far ahead Westwood were is that their sort of in-game movies, you know, porn has now only just caught up to that level of acting. that I just think that you've got to look at. Yeah, you know, they were truly trailblazers in the world of in-game cinematics, mm-hmm. be it, well, FMVs. And yeah, I think, I don't know, I love RTSs. I love tower defense games as well. And I kind of feel like people just aren't making good ones anymore.
I hate them now. They're awful.
You know, I want to play Warcraft 4. I want to play...
I'd be all into Warcraft 4. It'd be great right now.
I want to play like a really good RTS.
Age of Empires 2 is so good. Oh my gosh.
And then I want to play like Warcraft 3 again, though. Like, you know, the tower defense games on there were some of the best tower defense games ever made.
Yeah.
Like Elemental Tower Defense. I absolutely love that game.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the standout mods for me out of the game creator stuff. And so I'd love to see, you know,
mobile games have ruined tower defense. That's
the problem. Exactly. Now, yeah, like people think tower defense is stuff like Bloons, and it's like, no, it's really not. It shouldn't be. I mean, you know, it's not a bad game, but you know, I want to see the return to those Warcraft 3 mod days. Yeah. Of just some
You're not slagging Bloons specifically. You just want to
make
the point.
No, exactly. Yeah. No, Bloons is a good game,
sure,
but it's not the TD that I want to play.
Yeah, I just wanted to say slagging in a conversation because I don't get to very often.
You don't get to, exactly. Yeah.
Dills, do you have a favorite Warcraft moment sometime?
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the last 20 years, you know.
So my favorite Warcraft moment for me would have to be the Gates of AQ opening. I still remember just rushing home to be there, trying to log in, not being able to log in, finally logging in, just catching the end, getting disconnected, finally managing to get back in. Mm. But even that, all of that was actually really fun. Mm. And I'd say actually, strangely, it was because of the Ventrilo chat around it, not the game.
Yeah.
I think that's the
social aspect of that moment. Yeah.
And like you're saying, like you remember playing with your friends.
Yeah.
And I remember that and playing with my friends. And I think that's the strongest thing to come out of Blizzard and Warcraft.
I agree.
Yeah. I think for me, it was, well, there's been like a few, but the most memorable moment was probably when we killed Heroic Malygos 25, and it was like we like one-shotted that thing at the end of the night, and
yeah,
everyone was just freaking out after it happened.
That was a big deal. Yeah.
That was pretty insane. But probably actually when I quit playing WoW and then came back in and rolled a tune on Earthen Ring, got it to 10, and then joined AIE the first time, and then the green wall just immediately hit, and I was like, holy crap. This is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is real.
Yeah.
There is a guild like this out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty insane, that moment, too.
I remember rolling around with Veronica and actually role-playing with her at one point.
Rolling around on Veronica?
No, rolling around with her, with our characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of this sounds great. Yeah, it sounds amazing. Great.
And I remember thinking, well, if Veronica's going to talk like her character in the world, I can do this and not feel like a dingbat. And I remember, sure. I remember kind of going, oh, this is why role players dig this. It wasn't anything weird going on. We were friends, but it was like I got a taste of why role players dig this in games and why they continue to play that way. And I kind of miss that. I miss that a lot, actually. That was a lot of fun. And
you can just do it whenever you want.
Yeah, totally. But it just weird everybody out. I'd go to guild one day or go to a raid and go, wow. Oh, what yonder breaks on the sky? 'Tis another fight. I can't.
It'd be like, that's a strange sounding orc. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, that's true. If you were talking like that, that would
be quite funny, folks. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, but that's, I used to enjoy, you know, a bit of,
sure,
a bit of, you know, Ren Faire talk.
Yeah. Everyone thinks it's for weirdos. It's not. It's fine. It's fine. Do whatever you want, man. But it's okay. You're an adult. Play imaginary. Cool, play pretend. Cool. Yeah. And if you're around, could be good people. And AIE, for what it is, I mean, if you had to look at the most amazing thing of the last 20 years of Warcraft, I mean, if I really wanted to just say all of it, I'd say the show and the guild. They're the two biggest deals for me. And they're not even in the game. But that's how that stuff works. It extends out and reaches all people.
That's true.
All right. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's move on to this.
The drop of the week.
Use the discount code Warcraft at gametimezone.com for 5% off your next game time. This week's drop of the week is the big deals at the gear store. We talked about it being back last week, and this week they've got a bunch of stuff on sale at gear.blizzard.com, including, and I assume this is all just to sort of celebrate their the resurgence of the store, but you can get like
a launch. Yeah.
Yeah. The launch, the Reaper of Souls backpack down from 60, only $44.99. These are pretty good deals.
You can get the Tank of Doterra for $50.
It's that big Stein thing. Yeah, I kind of want that. Ooh.
Exactly. It's really cool and angular, and it looks like it's in game because it's just very polygonal. Yeah. I really like it.
I think I might have to get that one. I didn't know that was on there.
Then they've got the World of Warcraft Wireless Mouse, SteelSeries. It looks okay. It's got a cool charging base.
But look at that deal. $64 as opposed to $129 normally. That's great.
Yeah. It's a cool mouse.
Yeah. Let's see.
And then obviously the Skeleton King skateboard deck. Because I always find that, you know, when I'm popping an ollie, if people aren't seeing some game related stuff on my deck,
exactly,
then they don't give me the respect I need. So
you'll be the coolest guy at the skate park with that thing.
I don't know. Again, I'm sure there are a lot of guys who skate who play WoW and play Diablo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is this Swiftie. Am I meant to put this on my wall, or is this literally? So is this just made for Swiftie? Is that why they made too many now? He bought his, and everyone was like, "No, I'm not fussed."
Yeah.
Can you actually drink out of this tank?
You can drink. It's a drinkable. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had a few in the past. I've normally had to give them away though on competitions.
Yeah.
But sorry for anyone who's won one of those, because I have sampled out of it beforehand. Equally, you can normally fit like a full sized, at least an English can of beer inside one of them as well. So you don't even have to be inside dirty.
Nice.
I feel like this would be better for drinking my beer on stream than showing the bottle definitely. And all that stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
unless
dude.
They're gonna pay you, you're not showing any labels. You're gonna use the the Tank of Doterra, which hopefully by then is sold out. So you're not even promoting that. Yeah. You're just using a cool
you could have anything.
Just having a tasty beverage.
You could have grape juice in there. It could be anything. They don't know. What are they?
Anything. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Turpentine, whatever. Mm. The Hearthstone screen cleaner is currently my thing of want.
Really?
Yeah, it's only $5, but with shipping it's 10, so I can't make my mind up. I just think that's a cool idea. I like the kind of 3D looking unopened Hearthstone box quality of that.
Yeah, but if you spend over $50 for the duration of launch, so another 3 days, it's free shipping.
Oh.
So
maybe I should get the taker of hoo-ha and then that.
Exactly. And then that. And then you're in the clear.
Happy Valentine's Day, Kim. How you doing? Here's the stuff I bought for Valentine's Day.
There you go. Well, you can say to her, look, you can clean my screens now with this awesome Hearthstone screen cleaner.
Yeah. I'm actually wearing my Hearthstone shirt right now.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. Although you guys can't see.
I can't see it.
You could send video if you wanted. Chat room could see you.
Oh, really?
It's up to you. I forgot to tell you we can do that now.
Oh. Well, hold on a second then.
Really?
Yeah, let's see what we got. Let's take a look here.
Hello.
Hey, look at that. Oh, look.
Nice.
You can see his boobs are behind it.
Yep. I'm just wearing
this. This is how it would look on a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like nice. Well, no, because theirs is black.
Yeah.
The woman's version.
That's true.
Yeah, so you'd have to, it'd be slightly darker. That's how that would
be. We should have had this video on the whole time. Look at you two. This is great.
Yeah, what the hell?
Next week we'll do that.
Oh, yeah,
Why did we not know this?
Because I'm an a-hole and didn't tell anybody.
I thought that we still couldn't. Okay.
No, I got it worked out. It's a weird way, and I still have a couple things to fix.
But still can't see you, Scott. So how do I know you're really?
They can see me, but you can't.
Well, we can see you if we turn on the stream.
Yes, you could see me on the stream.
That's how it's clever, because then he gets the pre-roll advertising from us. Like, hey,
my hair looks stupid right now.
It does, man. That is the worst hair I've ever seen. I'm just
kidding. It's bed hair.
It looks fine.
Bed hair.
Totally like it. It's fine.
It's legit. Good. It's good.
Speaking of legit, that show is legit. We're done with it. We're out. We're on our way. Let's move on. Dills, what's going on? So you guys got runner-up status for the contest. Congratulations.
Sure. Yeah. That meant basically we were not in the top three is what that meant.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I think we got like $100 or something like that. I don't really know how
that's
works.
Great. Really?
That's nice.
But it's an honor just to be nominated.
Yeah,
that's halfway
it is.
Towards the next tournament. That's good.
That's true. The one cool thing is that if you actually go to Twitch and you browse the games and stuff right now and you click on Hearthstone, you can see that the Angry Chicken VOD is actually like the most popular one of the last week. When it says videos from this week, it's got the most views of all of those. It's over 3,300 over. So we're beating like Tara Babcock's video. And that means, you know, people want to see this more than boobs. So that's cool.
All I'm saying is I can watch both.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I've got two monitors for a reason, Dills.
you know, you're a smarter man than most, though, Terpster.
Yeah.
Figure these things out.
Wisdom.
But definitely check out The Angry Chicken Mondays. And you can also find me streaming Hearthstone throughout the weekend. I'll probably be doing some. And if people are interested in one-on-one training sessions, those are also available on my stream. Twitch.tv/WillyDozeSF.
Oh, in Hearthstone, though. In Hearthstone.
Yeah, in Hearthstone. I could probably talk to you about whatever the hell you want, really.
Whoa, yeah.
It'd probably be better if we did Hearthstone.
There's some legal ramifications and some other stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, so definitely check that out. It's been going well. A lot of people have been getting them, and people say that it's helped them, so that's cool.
Good. I know every time I've talked to you, I've felt better about my play. So there you have it. Terpster, anything in your world you want to mention?
No.
I like this new tour series you're doing. The Yogg's Tower stuff.
Yeah. So you can check that out on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/YoggsCastTerpster.
Yeah.
I did a tour today of Duncan's office, or Drunken's Lab. It's good. It's, you know, well, I say that myself. It is good. It's okay. It's another member of staff has fallen victim to my blade.
Yeah.
As I've slain another. It's good fun. It's really good. I also did a Risk of Rain video yesterday, just to give that a go.
Oh, I love that game. It's good.
And it's a really good game. It's very hard, though, I found, talk and play at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's even harder to play well. So,
that's one of those games I bought sight unseen the minute it said roguelike in the description. I just cannot get enough of those games.
Boom. Exactly. It is good. It is good fun.
What's the deal with the smooth jams at the beginning of this video, man? Wow.
Whoa.
What's that?
Are you playing this bass line?
Oh, no. It's because it's MTV Cribs.
Oh, okay.
Cribs. That's the whole thing.
Okay. So, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. You'll see all the editing is very Cribs.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone check that out. And in the meantime, big, big thanks to Matthew Oxley for our new theme music. I freaking love
it. So good.
And the site will soon be getting an overhaul as well to reflect the new theme. We do this every time there's a big expansion change right before we start getting into beta time. And I always like that time of the cycle. So watch for that at theinstance.net, where you can find all of our other stuff, as well. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, who does a lot of our web stuff and is just a great intern in general on the Frog Pants Network. Our forums, show notes, and archives, and more are at the website. You can find us on Twitter, Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, and V_T on Facebook/TheInstance. And you can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Vicious virus vexes vacationers. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. With the love is in the air holiday season in full swing, cruises to nowhere are a popular getaway for romantically minded tourists. For one group of blood elves, however, their dream vacation turned into a near-death nightmare. The schooner Star of Silvermoon departed from Sunstrider Isle last Saturday for a 6-day cruise around the Isle of Quel'Danas. Sunday evening, a sudden storm enveloped the ship with deep purple skies and numerous bolts of lightning. Not long after the storm's passing, crew and passengers alike began feeling listless and extremely tired, with even simple tasks taking great effort. The ship barely made it back home Tuesday, and all aboard were immediately portaled into quarantine in Shatrath because, let's face it, nobody goes there anymore. The scryer healers assigned to the case discovered that all the patients were afflicted with a magical disease that was draining their mana. The cause? The void god Entropius, who was apparently using the mana to try to regain his previous crystalline form. As a result of this discovery, Silvermoon authorities have banned travel to Quel'Danas to prevent further outbreaks of Naru virus. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Thanks to Grimm for the story idea. Check out the archives at overlydramaticnews.com and follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Throw me the Buxley. I'll throw you the rope. Welcome to Buxley's Journal.
Attention! This is being broadcast on all Azerothian frequencies. Please listen to the following announcements for both the Horde and Alliance. 1. By the orders of the powers that be, lightning spells will no longer be castable while running. In order to make things completely fair, you'll have to stand in place, do a somersault, turn around 3 times, and click your heels before casting. Additional calisthenics may be required. Number 2. Alderac Valley has changed. All residents have been working out, and holes and fences have been repaired. The Horde will be given a 5-minute head start to allow them to complain an extra 5 minutes. Number 3, it is now forbidden to give hugs to shaman. Please don't squeeze the shaman. 4, the residents of Stormwind and Overmar ask that you only visit the cities when you absolutely need to due to overcrowding. The residents of Shattrath, Dalaran, Exodar, and Silvermoon would like to remind people that they still exist. 5, because of the success of the undead pet, the Giraffe of the Lich King, there's a new pet battlemaster you can visit. His name is Dr. Aenor. He's located in the swamps of Stoneard, and you can battle his special set of royal frogs there. If you collect the entire set, you can proudly say that you have the complete set of the Wart Lords of Dr. Aenor. This is the end of the announcements.
If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Asrothian Heroes.
Real Asrothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. This Spell is Better in Hearthstone.
Mr. This Spell is Better in Hearthstone.
Yes, the Beta Blizzard card game is coming up again, even in the end of show segments.
1-star reviews.
Even more and more folks are trying out Hearthstone now that it's in open beta to see what all the hubbub and hype is really all about.
LFRQ growing!
It's great that Hearthstone takes its cues from the Warcraft lore, classes, and spells that we all know and love so much.
But Flame Strike was never this cool.
So crack open an ice-cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you top-decking, murloc board-wrecking caster blaster. I need cards faster.
Ooh, Mr. This Spell is Better in Hearthstone.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you gain that all-important reputation in the world of Warcraft. This week, we take a look at a small group of humanoids called Sporlings, known as the Sporagar. Making their home in Zangarmarsh, they're in trouble, and as one of the greatest champions of Azeroth, it's your duty to make sure they survive. There's a few ways you can go about gaining reputation with this faction. The quest way involves a lot of gathering, so you'll be spending a lot of time gathering things like mature spore sacs, boglord tendrils, glowcap, sanguine hibiscus, and also killing bloodscale enemies. On the other hand, you can also spend time in the underbog. All of these items are turned in with repeatable quests, so that along with running the underbog will net you thousands of reputation per hour. This makes grinding this reputation at a high level trivial, and you should be able to do it in no time at all. The sanguine hibiscus is found in the underbog as well, so don't forget to grab it while you're down in there. In the end, there are not a lot of rewards that are of use for a high level character. You'll still be able to buy the tiny spore bat pet, which is a cute little pet to come along with you in your adventures. You'll also be able to receive the achievement The Czar of Sporagar. Along with that achievement, you'll also receive credit towards the diplomat achievement, so if you're out to get the diplomat title, that's another step. And if you've already done the Kurenai, as seen in one of our previous episodes, you got 2 out of 3. We'll be back next week with another tip. Remember to follow us at repboost.blogspot.com, and if you have a faction that you'd like us to spotlight, let us know. And as always, this is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrass. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is Hakima's Heal Halter. The goal here is to don't let Hakima, if I'm saying that right, cast Hakima's Wisdom in the Blood in the Snow scenario. So the final boss has a spell called Hakima's Wisdom. It's a 4-second cast, and we don't want him to cast it at all. We need to stop it. We need to interrupt every single one. Now there's 3 of us in the scenario, so we'll get to work it out with the group. You get first, I get second, he gets third. And all you have to do is interrupt it every time. The scenario is going to let you know when it's coming. So will your DMB if you have it installed. Just hit that interrupt and just make sure you work together so that way it's not on a cooldown. Kill the boss and then, boom, 10 points. And you get the achievement, Hack Him His Heel Halter. Also, in this scenario, there are about 5 baskets. You'll see these baskets because they will have a pillar of light surrounding them, shooting up into the sky as you get close to them. I found some waypoints where they may be. It's pretty close, but all you need to do is look around. If you collect all 5 of these baskets, you could even wait till the scenario is finished and do it yourself. You'll get the achievement, Heed the Weed. Catch up on old shows at slashgrads.com or find us on Stitcher or iTunes. You could contact me on Twitter. I'm EFinkG4. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, how does a good orc celebrate the Olympics in Azeroth? The Azeroth Olympic sporting events celebrate a time-honored tradition of competition and bribery. Goblin wagering on the outcome is as much an event as the heavy ogre toss or the wild hammer throw, where the dwarven wild hammer clan engage in considerable revelry before seeing how far they can throw each other, finally finishing up when someone dares his buddy to see how high he can toss a glop gut pounder. Understanding this, all good orcs celebrate the Olympics by going down to a local pub with a big screen and satellite connection, purchasing a pint, placing their bets, and letting the dwarves get on with their silly little competition. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. A kamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com. Thanks to Scrunch on Earthen Ring for this week's question.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.